We are in the middle of discussing the pasuk Hishpati Eschem Binos Yerushalayim. This is a popular pasuk. It's a pasuk that is a topic of Perek Beis, pasuk Zayin. Hishpati Eschem Binos Yerushalayim Bitzvois O Be'ai Yelois Hasodei Im To'iru V'im To'iru Es Ho Ahavo Ad Shetechbatz. Okay, so this pasuk discusses. We did yesterday the Mitzvus and Rashi. The simple interpretation of the pasuk is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting upon the Benos Yerushalayim. We learned yesterday, both according to the Mitzvus and Rashi, this pasuk, the Benos Yerushalayim refers to the Umos Ha'olam, the nations of the world. They're called the Benos Yerushalayim for one of two reasons. Either in the time of Galus, they are the ones that are occupying Yerushalayim. Okay, they say that we're the occupiers. The truth is, the Umos Ha'olam, according to Chazal, are the occupiers. Because they're calling the shots. They're the ones who are calling, making all the decisions of what happens in Eretz Yisrael, at least, and you'll say maybe 1948 changed that to some degree, but even today we know that there's the influence of the Umos Olam over Eretz Yisrael is very, very wide and far, and therefore they are called, in the times of Galus, they are called the Benos Yerushalayim, because they currently occupy or make decisions to have influence over Yerushalayim. The second reason why they're called Benos Yerushalayim is al ha'osit, that when Mashiach will come, Yerushalayim will be the capital of the world. Ki beisi, beis tefilah l'chol ha'amim. So we are addressing the Umos Olam today in times of Golis al shem ha'osit, and the shvu that Hashem puts upon them, Hashem administers a shvu. And the shvu is bitzvaos o be'ayelos hasodeh. So we learned this yesterday, simply to mean that you will turn into a creature called the tzvaos, a gazelle. We call a gazelle, or be'ayelos hasodeh, some type of deer, some type of an ayola, naftali ayola shlucha, some type of very swift animal, which in the desert, in the forest, is vulnerable and is the prey, is the food of the wilder animals. The more vicious and wilder animals freely consume the tzvaos and the ayelos hasadeh. Whenever a vicious animal is hungry, it's no big deal. You go out to the forest and they're there for the taking. They're there, the lion, they're there. These creatures are easy prey. They're there for the taking. They are hefker for consumption. So Hashem says to the Umos Olam, if you dare make trouble, the trouble is discussed at the end of the pasuk, you will turn into the tzvaos and the ayelos hasadeh, and you will be obliterated. Now what is the warning? What do I not want you to do? What are the conditions that I'm warning you not to do? The im to iru, two words which, as far as I don't, my limited vocabulary, are the same. If you will arouse, you will wake up, arouse, provoke, es ho ahava ad shetechbatz, and this has to be translated loosely. We have two different interpretations around here in the Mitzvus. One interpretation is, what's the word ad? Ad means either until, or ad means while. If ad means until, shetechbatz, it means until Hashem wants. In other words, that at this moment in time, during the time of Galus, Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Klal Yisrael and her Dodi are separated, but the separation is only temporary. It's temporary, and there is still a potential, there's a possibility for reconciliation. There is still a possibility, and that possibility will come naturally at the time when Hashem wants. But if you, the Umos Olam, interfere and cause us to be nichshol in averos, you damage our moral standing, our spirituality, by injecting us with poison, by influencing us to the worship of the Zorah, Gilei Reishvich, and all of these things, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never consider taking us back. We're at a very difficult period of time. We're in a time of separation. And therefore, if we want to have the possibility that Hashem will take us back, we have to behave ourselves. But we're vulnerable. And if you, the Goyim, are going to Im to Iru, the Im to Iru, you're going to, you go, Es Ho Ahava, which is interpreted according to the Mitzudos in a negative fashion. If you're going to take the love that's still between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to damage the love by arousing hatred between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, how will you arouse hatred? By making us ugly in His eyes, by influencing us to do averos, then you should know you will be held accountable and you will be obliterated from the face of the earth. The other interpretation was ad does not mean until Hashem wants, but while shetechpatz, while there is still, it's the same idea, while there is still goodwill between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a bit of a distance between us, but ad, there is still ad shetechpatz, there is will, techpatz means goodwill, don't shepa, don't go interfere, do not make trouble to cause, to damage this relationship. Okay, now that's this very similar interpretation, Rashi, and then Susan, we had also at the very end of this Rashi, we had this very unique expression, the Rashi told us that he's only coming over here to tell us, there are many midrashim, many Mavari Chazal, but he's only choosing to explain the Pesukim based upon the sequence of events that happened from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and the Midbar, and the Mishkan, and the Bayis Rishon, and the Bayis Sheni. He's not looking to get into any philosophical discussion of the deeper meaning of this pasuk. He certainly is not, doesn't want to engage the Satmar Rebbe to understand what the deep meaning of this pasuk is. That's what Rashi said. Rashi said, let's keep it simple. Let's not get into, what's the name of the Sefer? What's the Sholosh? What's the name of the Sefer? The Satmar. Ala Tmura v'ala Gula. Ala Gula v'ala Tmura. Let's not, that's what Rashi basically over here is trying to say. Let's not get into that type of stuff. Now let's first see the Targum. The Targum is a little bit more elaborate. The Targum. Okay. Why is the biggest chassid? May is the biggest chassid of Satmar.
Listen, I keep on saying stuff. Heaven is a unanimous vote. Guy who is a without
three. Had one. Dissenting opinion.
So also not have one
okay, we got that in, Baruch Hashem. Of course, it's on tape. Ayin roye ve'oizen shamas v'chol ma'asecha v'seifen nichtavim. Okay. I have someone, come on, no one listens to these. I view this as a private record. All right. But someone actually, there's some person that was listening to something, so he tells me over what I said. And he only tells me the jokes and the mistakes. He doesn't tell me any of the contents. He just tells me all of the bummises that we've talked about here. All right, let's go. Let's see what it says. Look at the Targum. The Targum Pasuk Zayin says as follows. Okay, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, the Targum. The Targum says, Bosar Kane, afterwards, meaning after after the previous psukim similarly referring to Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Chet HaEgel, and then Moshe Rabbeinu's Koyach HaTzfila, where Hashem said, Salachti Chidvarecha, so it seemed that everything was smooth sailing until came the Meraglim. The Meraglim put us back even further. We went one step forwards, two step backwards. Basar Kane, after Hashem forgave us, I think it's referring to after Hashem forgave us for the Chet HaEgel, because that was pretty much the theme of the last pasuk according to the Targum. Isamar l'Moshe b'nevua min kodem Hashem. Hashem spoke to Moshe through prophecy. Now this statement of the Targum is a shocking statement, that it was through nevua. Isamar l'Moshe, it was said to Moshe b'nevua min kodom Hashem. Let me just read the next words and we'll explain why. L'mishlach is gadin le'alolo yos ara. To send spies. Okay, is gadin is a fancy word for a spy. Le'alolo.
Gadin is the word for nasi.
A prince?
Yeah.
Is dagin? Yeah?
It's in Uklis in one of the
okay. The Nesim, okay, very good, okay.
We had the word Asgud, the name.
Okay, Asgud. Messengers. Okay. Send the Nesim. Okay, so send the princes, send the Nesim to do what? Le'alolo, to spy. To spy. Is this thing working? This went off.
Okay, we have.
No, when the it stopped working.
Louder.
Stop. It stopped. Maybe the plug fell out. Is the plug in?
No, we hear you now.
If it was on battery power, then it goes off.
Pasuk in Targum is Lepnei Sovik Awaz Good, and that's what it says every time it says.
Nasi. Okay. Okay. So. Okay. So now it's back on. Okay. Thanks. What happened? The plug fell out.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, let's go further. So what did it say? Limishlach az gadin le'alalot, to send princes le'alalot to spy yos aretz. Send miraglim to spy the land. Now why is this very disturbing, this Targum? Because I think we've all been brought up with the understanding shlach l'cho anoshim v'yosu es eretz Kanan. The idea to send spies was an idea from Moshe Rabbeinu. It was the people. It was not Hashem's idea. And the Targum, you can dray the Targum like this and like this, but the flavor you get from the Targum is the concept of sending spies, this idea, this approach to send spies, was purely a directive by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said the Koyach of Nevuah, Isamar l'Moshe b'Nevuah Kodam min Kodam Hashem.
Masur and Moshe, the Abarbanel points out, was Moshe
who's Miragel.
Who told you to say that? In other words, they were thinking about going on a tour. He put the thought in their mind to check out
spy the tour, spy.
It's the strong people there, like all these things he added. I didn't say that.
Okay, so there are many different ideas related to that.
Barbanel. Concept.
Barbanel.
Changed their mind of thinking.
Okay, so I think there is a common understanding that the spies were not, Hashem was not happy with this. Hashem did not want that spies should be sent to analyze the land. Hashem wanted Klal Yisrael to have emunah pshuta in Hashem. I took you out of Mitzrayim. It was Kriyas Yam. So if you see what I can do, so what are you afraid of? I'll take you to Eretz Yisrael. So there are 31 kings. Don't worry, you'll survive. All of a sudden, Klal Yisrael, they got scared, cold feet. So Moshe says to Hashem, Hashem, could we send spies? You want to send? Shlach l'cha. I don't think it's a good idea, but if you really want to do it, so you can do it. But it's not coming from me. The impression the Targum gives here is, no, this was Hashem's idea. Read the words. Hashem said, b'nevuah, it's b'nevuah. Through prophecy, a Navi, Hashem is giving a message. What is a Navi? A Navi receives signals and messages from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Min Kodam Hashem l'mishlach az gadin le'alolo yosara. Okay, so I know you'll say that it originated with Klal Yisrael's request and Hashem responded through Nevuah. Okay, you have answers, but it's still, if you read the words of Psukim at face value and you would not be brainwashed with all of these machshavas that have been put into our head, which are our sources, our very traditional sources, that it was not Hashem's idea that they should send spies, you would think that the Targum is just basically telling you that no, Hashem said, I want you to send Meraglim, I want you to go through this Nisayon and see that there are going to be problems and you should overcome the problems with Emunah Pshuta. That is the impression the Targum gives.
The Malbim points out, what was the Chet HaMeraglim anyhow? What they did was nothing wrong in terms of what they came back to say. The difference is, when you are sent by the general of an army to do reconnaissance and come back with a report, you don't report to the people, you get debriefed by the commanding officer. They should have come to Moshe, discussed it with them, and he would have straightened them all out, and the whole problem would have been avoided. And that was
There were many mistakes. Okay, there were many things that went wrong in the process. Okay, so let's go for the Targum. Tavu mi le'alala, and when they returned, the word tavu, we always have that word in the Targum in reference to tshuva, but here it means physically when they returned back from spying the land to Eretz Yisrael. Apiku shum dish al arad the Yisrael, they spoke lashon hara on the Holy Land. The is akavu arba inshin b'madbara, and they had to tarry 40 years in the desert. Period. Psach Moshe b'pumi v'amar v'chein amar. Moshe opened up his mouth and he told Klal Yisrael the following message: we're not going into Eretz Yisrael, and don't even think about it. Don't think that the Mapilim, you hear alluding to the Mapilim, don't even think that there's going to be any change. Ash ba'is Yoschon Kinishta the Yisrael Bahashem Tzivakos. So finally in the Targum we now get after all of that back, we now get to the translation of the words Lufi the Targum. Hishpati Eschem Benos Yerushalayim. Who is the subject? Who is speaking? Not who is the speaker? Who's the speaker? Hashem is the speaker. Not Moshe is the speaker. Moshe is speaking. Who is he speaking to? Who are the Benos Yerushalayim? Kelal Yisrael. Unlike the Mitzudos and Rashi that says that the speaker is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the subject of Benos Yerushalayim or the Umos Olam. According to the Targum, the speaker is Moshe and the Benos Yerushalayim is Kelal Yisrael. Even though at this point in time they don't even know there's something called the Yerushalayim. They may know about Avraham Avinu, Malki Tzelek Melech Sholem, Bahar Hashem Yeroya, but the Yerushalayim has been selected as the Mekoyim Asher L'Shichnei Sidrashu Vos HaShama certainly was not determined at this point in time. And yet we're calling them Al Shema Asa that you will one day be the Benos Yerushalayim. What is my message? I swear to you, Bitzva'ois. Bitzva'ois is in the Kodesh. According to the Targum, it does not mean a gazelle. It does not mean you'll be turned into food for fodder. For the animals, it means I put a shu upon you, B'Shem Hashem. A shu with Hashem's name, which is a very serious shu. We know Masechta Shavuos, there are different types of oaths. There's a Shavuot with Shem Hashem, there's a Shavuot without Hashem's name. This is serious business. And who else? What does it mean, the Ayolim, Ayolos Hasadeh? It does not mean these quick animals, these animals which are like deer. It means Uvit Akife Ara di Yisrael, the mighty ones of Eretz Yisrael, the Ovos. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Shvatim, these are the people who lived in Eretz Yisrael. Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, all the different points in their life, they spent time living in Eretz Yisrael, the Shvatim, all the Tzaddikim of the previous generations who lived in Eretz Yisrael, put a shoe upon their life. Like we have by Yosef. Yosef said, Chei Paro, I swear by the life of Paro. There he meant a shoe sheker. But we learn from that the concept that when you swear by someone that has value to you, meaning it's a true Shvua. Chayash by Hashem, put the shul by the Hashem Tzivokos, it's Kodesh, and by the Ayolos Hasadeh, the Sadeh here refers to Eretz Yisrael. Ayolos refers to the holy ones, the mighty ones. The Ayolim means an expression of the Ele. Ele means powerful. What's the Shavuot? The Low Sizidun, do not bemaze it. What's a good word for Sizidun? Do not deliberately attempt Lemisak L'Ara Dichnan to ascend to Eretz Yisrael. Ad dihei until Ravam in Kodam Hashem, until Hashem wants. Do not attempt to come to Yisrael. V'sufun kol dora in osho korava, and the anshei hamilchama, all of the people. Karava means Muhammad. All of the people of this generation who he calls the Anshei Milchama, they went to war Kav Yochel against Hashem by not listening to his command, by doing things which are not correctly, until they die. You will not go into Eretz Yisrael until all of the Dor HaMidbar dies and a new generation rises up. Limsos Migoy Mashrisa. Until they finish dying, from what's mashrisa mean? From the machane. Mashrisa means from the camp. Heichma, just like, now here the Targum quotes the Zadu Achichon Bnei Ephraim, just like the great tragedy of the Bnei Ephraim, they left Mitzrayim 30 years too early. In which they made a calculation that the 400 years, Kiger Yerz Abrecha B'Eretz Lelehem V'Avod V'Ino Yosem Arame Yoshana begins with Leidas Yitzchak, and really it was calculated from the Bris Ben Habesarim. The other way around. From the Brit, they calculated from the Brisbane Havasarim instead of from Leidas Yitzchak. Leidas Yitzchak was 30 years after the Brisbane Havasarim. So therefore, that was their mistake. They decided, they made a calculation. They said, when did Hashem say Arba Me'oshana at the Brisbane Habasarim? It's now exactly 400 years. It's time to go. It's time to leave. They organized. They got together. They unionized and they rebelled and they ascended. And then the Egyptians pursued and killed them. Does not mention any of this explicitly anywhere in the Torah. We only know this through tradition.
But what the Gemara says is, it says instances, Yosef said, "Vahali semesatz mosai mizay them." What they did, especially since they came from Yosef,
right?
They left Mitzrayim, and they didn't take. That's the Gemara in Bava Basra says they didn't take the Atzmos Yosef with them, and they left.
They left, aha.
And
they didn't fulfill that condition.
There, they broke ranks with what the Haftacha
was. Interesting.
They should have taken Atzmos
Yosef. I mean, possibly it could have been correct. It was all subject to interpretation. If Hashem wanted, he could have calculated the gates from the Bris Ben Hamasarim. But and they, to some degree, were right. It was but since they did not fulfill their part of the deal, they did not take the Atzmos Yosef Imo, so they had no right to leave. Okay, but the point over here is... So we have over here, we have a precedent with the Bnei Ephraim. They left 30 years early, and what happened to them? The Nafku, they went out to Losin Shnin Mitzrayim Ad La Mitok Kitzah, 30 years before the Zman. They made their own calculation. Unifalu Biyad Pilishtoe the Yosvin Bigas, and they were smitten, not by the Egyptians. I made a mistake, not by the Egyptians. The Egyptians, it's interesting, the Egyptians did not pursue them. Isn't that interesting? When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim 30 years later, so the entire Egyptian army pursued them. Who was the one that attacked the Bnei Ephraim? The Pelishtim, living in Gath. Gath was the capital of Pelishtim. Ukitalu Yosun and killed them. Elohein bot, Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, bot, Erichu ad zman arba'in shenin, you have to wait 40 years. You're going to have to sit here in the desert 40 years. Uvosar kein, afterwards, Yalun b'nechon, your children will ascend, v'yachsinun yasa, and your children will inherit Eretz Yisrael. So the target over here, let's go back to the target. Now we have over here a deeper interpretation. Hishpati Yeshem Benos Yushlaim. I, Moshe Rabbeinu, was speaking, I swear to you, I put an oath upon you, Klal Yisrael, who will one day be the citizens of Yushalayim, Bitzvokois, here it's Kodesh, by Hashem's name, O Be'ayelos HaSodeh, and by, O over here means and by the Eileh Eretz, the Ovois, and the Tzadikim that lived in Eretz Yisrael, the Shvatim, Im to'iru v'im to'iru es ohava. Do not, ava means to love, do not, so according to the Targum, it's in the positive form. It's not, do not interfere with the ahava by arousing anger. It's not what it means. The Targum is much simpler. Do not try to bring forth prematurely. Do not try to bring forth prematurely the love that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael ad she'techpatz, until Hashem wants. And when will Hashem want? Hashem will want this in 40 years from now, because of the chet of the Meraglim, just like the precedent of the Bnei Ephraim. They tried to ascend prematurely to Eretz Yisrael 30 years before their time. Look what happened to them. Watch out, the same thing will happen to you. Okay. Now, let's go to some of the popular midrashim on this pasuk. This pasuk is the subject to a discussion in the Masechta Kesubos. And the Gemara Masechta Kesubos is dealing with the question, is it proper for us in Golus to organize and to conquer Eretz Yisrael without the Melech HaMashiach? Let me read you the Gemara in Masechta Kesubos, and there are some midrashim which elaborate a bit more. Okay, give me one moment. Okay, so the Gemara Masechta Kesubos says, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Amar. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina says, Shalosh Shavuos Halalu Lama. There are three Shavuos. Now, where do you see in this pasuk three Shavuos? The answer is this pasuk is repeated multiple times in Sefer Shir HaShirim. Four times. So the question is, if it's four times, why he is referring to three times? So there's different explanations. Let's just go. Give me one moment. We'll come to it. So Shalosh Shavuos Halalu Lama. Why are we referring? So let's focus now simply on the three psukim. Even though there are four psukim, they're written a little bit differently. Okay, the second pasuk is in Perek Gimel Pasuk He. Okay, Perek, just jump ahead over there. Perek Gimel Pasuk He. Hashpati Eschem Benos Yishlaim Bitzvaos O Be Ayelos HaSodeh Im Te'iru Bim Torah Asav Ashtel. It's exactly the same thing. Okay, and then the next pasuk is...
I think it skips the third and goes to the fourth.
It skips the third.
I think it skips the one in Perek Hey and goes to the one in Perek Ches.
Okay, and Perik. And there's a four. What's the fourth one? And what's the third one?
Hey,
Pasik. Okay, so now Pasik Ches is a bit different. Hishpati Yeschem Minos Yishlaim Im Timtzu'u Etz Dodi Ma Tagidu Lo Shecholah Sahava Oni. Because that's an entirely different, that's an entirely different expression. Right, so therefore, seemingly, when the Gemara Masechet Ksubos says there are three, it's not referring to, like you just said, Ramachol, it's not referring to Perik Hey Pasik Ches, because here it's an entirely different expression. It's not Bitzvaos, O Ba'ilos HaSodeh, Im To'iru, Im To'iru, Es Vavah HaShetechvot. It's not what it says, it just says, tell him.
My point is that that's one version,
Among several. Okay. Okay. The Midrashim say there are six shvuos, there are four shvuos, and your sefer you make mention of the Medrash says there are four, and Reb Chol in his sefer he focuses on the Dalid Malchios. The Medrash says that the reason why there are four shvuos in Sefer Shir HaShirim, Hishpati Eschem Benos Yerushalayim, one of the four is a little bit different. Hashem says, don't rebel against any one of the Dalid Malchios. Not against Bavel, not against Paros Umadai, not against Yavon, and not against Edom. You cannot, I'm warning you that you should not, don't rebel against them by thinking that now we can return to Eretz Yisrael and we no longer need to be subjugated under their power. We're going to rebel against them. Pasuk, the Medrash says, don't rebel. You have to wait until the Melech HaMashiach. You have to wait until the Goyal comes. Things happen externally, not from you, which allow you to return to Eretz Yisrael. Which one?
Exactly what they say.
Right. So this is exactly. This is.
Except when I answer them is Kates Bavel Zeru Bavel. 20 years before.
Yeah.
Hashem told him to go back. Zerubbabel came to him and he told him to go back and build the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. And yet we lionize him. Kates Bavel Zerubbabel, Kates Shavim No Shoti. He wasn't.
Okay, so
nobody ever came back to tell us yet. But we had a second Beis HaMikdash.
The real answer is the third one.
Right. Absolutely. But nevertheless, the second one also, they didn't know what was going to happen when they went to rebuild the second.
Okay, we're going to come to some of this. But let's just focus on the Gemara first. Let's read the Gemara. The Gemara over here says, Nusach HaChem Rabbi Yosef Rechim Amar, Shalosh Shavuos Halalu Lama. This pasuk is repeated word for word exactly three times in Sefer Shir HaShirim. And there's a shvuah being administered by seemingly HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is he addressing the shvuah to? What is the message? Achas is the Gemara. Shelo yalu yishol b'choyma. They should not ascend with a wall. B'choyma. Now there's a question as to what the correct gears is. Is it kichoyma or b'choyma? And the interpretation depends on the base of the chafu, what the correct gears are. If it's kichoyma, kichoyma it means in multitudes,
like waves.
Kichoyma, like waves, like a wall. They should not come. What's the word? En masse.
En
masse. They should not come in large numbers. Or that's if you go with kichoyma. If you go with the days, what I have over here, bachoyma, it means with force. It's not a koyma, it means just like a wall, it's something which fortifies the city. So too, don't tell us what to do. We will organize, we will rebel, and we will go up against your will. That's two very different interpretations. And there are many nafkaminas. One nafkamina will be, what about Yechidim? It may be true that the whole Klal Yisrael is not allowed to organize and get together and decide to go up, but a Yechidim, individuals, are allowed to go up to Eretz Yisrael. If you learn that it's only prohibitions, only when you're not allowed to go up with force, but if the Malchus, if the government gives you permission, okay, there are different resolutions, there are different declarations which allow Klal Yisrael to have autonomy, have their own, then of course, then there is no longer a violation. So that will be enough to mean in what the correct gear is, Bichoyma Kachoyma, that was the first Shavua. Number two is V'yachash Yeshpia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael Shalo Yimridu Be'umos Olam, don't rebel. Even if you're not planning to go up to Eretz Yisrael, don't take over America. Let America stay America. It's too late, right? Well, just like we went out to Eretz Yisrael, so we took over America also. Okay. The achas, the third is Shespiya Kadosh Baruch Hu Esumos Oylam Shelo Yishtabdu Bohem Yishol Yosimidai. The third shavua, even though it's the exact same words as being interpreted by this Gemara, is that Hashem is addressing the Umos Ha'olam. They should not subjugate the Jewish people more Yoser Medai. This really fits really the explanation what Rashi and the Metzudah said we learned yesterday. Don't go and make trouble for them. Don't cause them to be nichshol in averos. And then that's what it will then mean to iruvim to oiru as esoava. Don't interfere with the dormant love that still exists between Hashem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is waiting to develop and to flourish and blossom once again. Don't interfere. Now, what's very interesting about the Gemara is that you take over here one pasuk, and the Gemara, normally we have a Gemara, and the Gemara homiletically interprets the pasuk, you'll have different opinions. You'll have Rabbi Yehuda says this, Rabbi Shimon says this, Rabbi Meir says this. Each one looks at the pasuk and interprets it in one way. Here, what's so fascinating is the Gemara is taking three psukim, which are identical, and is telling us to interpret it in two different ways. The one way is Hashem is speaking to Klal Yisrael. The Benos Yerushalayim is Klal Yisrael. And when it says Im to Irvi, Im to Ereso Ahava, it's all positive. Don't try to bring Mashiach, to bring the Geula before Hashem is ready. And in the very same breath, the Gemara is, but the third Pasuk, where it says exactly the same words, Hashem is not speaking to Klal Yisrael. He's speaking to the Umos Olam. The Benos Yerushalayim refers to the Umos Olam, and when it says Im to Iruvim to Eres Ahava, it doesn't mean to develop the Ahava, it means do not interfere with the Ahava. In one piece Gemara, the Gemara takes Shri Psukim and interprets it two different ways. Okay, that is the Gemara, that is one Gemara. Dover Acher, here he quotes over here the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah on Sefer Shir HaShirim says, I'll read you the words, Rabbi Chalbay Omer Arba Shavuos, saying there are four Shavuos. Now, what are the four Shavuos? This Pasuk is repeated twice, and later on, okay, this pasuk is now he's only coined this interpretation. We're only referring to what it says in Perek Gimel, pasuk Ches. We're not focusing on what it says in Perek Ches. We're only focusing on two psukim. Now, why is the third pasuk that's being left out is not a kasha? Because the third pasuk, as we mentioned, is a different expression. The fourth pasuk, I do not know why. For some mysterious reason, we are ignoring the pasuk that's written in Perek Ches. There must be some reason why it's being left out. How then do we come to four? Because we focus on the words, the repetition in Toiru the Im to Oiriru. What is this repetition? The two words. So the word Hishpati Eschem goes Hishpati Im Toiru, Hishpati Im to Oiriru. And we only focus on Perig Beis and Perig Gimel, and that is it. Now, what are the four different shvuos? Number one is Hashpili Shoshlo Yimidu as Ala Malchios. So this is the Medrash. Don't rebel against the Umos Olam. Number two, Shelo yidchaku esaketz. Do not force Mashiach to come before its time. Now, how in the world can you force Mashiach to come before its time? What could you possibly do? If we could have forced Mashiach to come before its time, we would have done it already by now. So the truth is, the Gemara says it is possible. What? Be'it achishena, but don't force it to come before achishena. That's what it's saying. I mean, achishena doesn't mean it's before its time. Achishena means we deserve it. But here, what it means is don't force Mashiach to come before the time that we deserve it. Right. Don't do a corrupt version of achishena. Achishena is good, provided that it's done in the proper way. But don't bring an achishena that is illegal. How can we do so? So I think of Yechiel Michel Stern, in the footnote, he says, the Gemara says that there was a mice with Eliyahu. Eliyahu came late to the shir. He did not come to the Beis Medrash, and they asked him what happened. So he says there was an emergency. Hashem sent me to the Ovos, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that they should be mispelled for Klal Yisrael. So I had to go. I went to Avraham, I woke him up, I washed his hands, I dressed him, and Avraham davened. I then put him back to sleep. I took him back to his kever, put him back to sleep. I then went to Yitzchak. I woke him up, I dressed him, I washed his hands, brought him to the Beis Medrash, and he was mispal and put him back to sleep. I then did Yaakov, the same thing. So they asked in the Beis Medrash, Leo, that's not an excuse to come late to the Beis Medrash. You should have woke them up together. You go, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, wake them up together, wash their hands together, dress them together. You could have saved 2 hours. You could have been here a lot quicker. So he said, if I would have done that, Mashiach would have come. And Hashem, if Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov would daven bevas achas, Eloki Avraham, when we daven Shemona Esrei, notice we say Eloki Avraham, Eloki Yitzhak, Eloki Yaakov. We don't join them together. Now why? So there's a lot of Torah on this, but one of the answers is because if we would bring them together, Eloki Avraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, Mashiach would come. We would invoke the zechuyos in one shot, like it says in the Gemara. It would be too. That's exactly what the pasuk says. Im to'iru v'im to'oiru etzo'ahavu atshe techbats. You can force Hashem to do things, but it's not going to be for your benefit. Klal Yisrael will not ultimately. It may be good in the short run, but in the long run, when Mashiach comes, we don't know how things are going to play out. It's not going to be for our benefit. And then the Gemara said to Eliyahu, that's very impressive. Very impressive. This information that you've told us that you could bring Avram of Yaakov. They then asked, is there anyone, not the average man can't do this. The average man can't wake up. The average man can't wake up Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We don't have such supernatural powers. But maybe there's someone alive today who is on a stature that if they would daven together, Mashiach would come. So he says, yes, there are three people in this world. Rabbi Chia and his two sons. And they all live in different places. Rabbi Chia lives here, one son lives here, a third son lives over there. Each one is righteous in their own right to a great degree. But if you would combine the three together and they would daven in one minyan for an B'nai Sara, Mashiach would come. Oh, this has been our power to do. So we can't wake up Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. No one's in Eliyahu HaNavi. But we can go and we can handcuff Rabbi Chia and we can bring him to the Beis Medrash and we can kidnap one of his sons and we can all bring him here and we can call him Yudavin. So indeed, the Gemara says they tried to do it. They tried to do it. They brought all three together and then there was an earthquake. So Gemara, I don't know where the Gemara is. There was an earthquake, there was some type of event and everyone got scared and they all ran away. And the Asefa never happened. They had it all planned, and they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want. So you do see from this Gemara that if you know the secret, there is potential, it's an amazing concept, to bring Moshiach before its time.
Yeah, but you also say it's not going to happen.
Hashem, in that instance, did not let it happen. Maybe they didn't try hard enough. There was an earthquake. So there's an earthquake. So you go into a shelter. You'll take... So they were at least, they were wise enough, they were clever enough to take seriously. Hashem does not want... We're going to stand down. We're not going to do this. But it doesn't mean that they can't force the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can force. There's a lot of stories, there are very lot of frightening stories like this, where you can force the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My mother always told me the story that there was a certain woman that used to badger Rav Moshe Feinstein. We lived in the Lower East Side, and we lived near Rav Moshe Feinstein, and there was a woman that did not have children. And she came to Rav Moshe over and over again, begging him for a bracha to have a child. And he refused to give her a bracha. And the people that just did not understand, why doesn't Rav Moshe want to give her a bracha? And he just always... And whatever it was. And then finally it got to a point where she did not let up and he gave her a bracha. And Rachman al-Litzlan, the child, was not a healthy child. It was not a healthy child. And I mean, who was it for us to judge? I mean, the parents had to deal with this situation for the rest of their lives.
Same story with Rabbi Elish. I know that someone came and eventually he said, you're going to have a kid, but you promise you have to keep the kid in your house. And they had to keep the kid. They built a special, a jail in the house.
It wasn't so simple.
He eventually killed the parents.
So Rav Moshe had Ruach HaKodesh. I mean, there are many stories. Rav Moshe had Ruach HaKodesh. So there's such a thing. We don't, in this day and age, we don't hear these type of stories anymore. We don't hear in this 2016, you don't hear the stories. But, you know, go not so far back. There are definitely a collection of stories where Gedolei Yisrael told people, it's not in your best interest. It's Hashem didn't give it to you for a reason. You want to force Hashem to do it? You can force. It will work. But you should know in the long run it's not going to be in your best interest. And people said, we'll take the risk. Now, who's to judge? No one's knowing. Okay, you don't know what's good for a person, whatever. But there is such a thing. So the Chazal are telling us that when it comes to Mashiach, this pasuk is the Medrash, the Ferush Medrash in Shir Hashim Rabbah, when it comes to Mashiach, it's possible to force Hashem's hand to bring Mashiach. I remember Pinchas Stolper, he gave a hesped on a...
Stolper.
He was a Talmud Muvok of Rav Chutner. So I was once in the car with my Rebbe of Chaim Siegel, Rav Chaim Siegel was also very close to Rav Hutner, and the Tkuf from the OU was putting out. They took all of their staff, and they were putting out tapes, shiurim, like biographies, short biographies of Gedolei Yisrael. So they had on staff many talmidim from all the very different Rashi yeshivas. So they asked each member of their staff to give a shiur describing their Rebbe. So he gave a fantastic shiur biography of Rav Hutner, personal stories. So one of the stories he says that Rav Hutner was once in the car with him, and he had a cane, and he was banging with his cane in the car. And he said, if Mashiach is not going to come, we're going to have to bring him with chutzpah. Then we stuck in that. What does that mean exactly? Like, we can't tolerate this anymore. The world's coming to an end. If he said that 50 years ago, you can imagine what he would say today. That's it. Bohu mayim ad nofesh. We have to bring him, if he's not going to come with good, we're going to bring him with chutzpah. Okay, he still didn't come, but you see such a hasaga.
They even flew towards him. They took the three planes to Jordan to get close to Mashiach.
To get close to Mashiach?
What?
Well, I don't understand. What I thought
when you asked why this would happen, the first thought that comes to mind is that the same way when we went out of Mitzrayim, God said, Arba Me'el Shana, according to the Beis Halevi, we went out early. We didn't fulfill. But the price for going out early at 210 was that we would have other Golas.
Exactly.
So the thought process is, if Bnei Yisrael would be on the Madrega, they would stoop so low that God said if it waited any longer, Mashiach couldn't come anymore, it wouldn't be worth it. I'm going to have to bring it now. It wouldn't be in our best interest because the Chatoim would be so great that it wouldn't work out well.
It will not work out well at the end. It will be good in the short run, but it's not going to work out well then. So let's go back. Over here, it's a coin disadvantage. There are four. The four of you refer to. Number one is, do not rebel against Umos Olam. Number two is, Shelo Yidchaku Esakates. Now, here it says, do not push Alakates, which the word Yidchaku is a hard word to translate in this context. Over here in the commentary, it means what I just told you. That's how most of the commentators learn. It means do not force it to push Mashiach to come before its time. Now, some learn it means just the opposite. It means Yidchaku Loshnav Yirchaku. You can interchange the dalet with the resh. Don't cause Mashiach not to come. In other words, don't prolong it. Hashem says, listen, you want to do averos? Okay. I understand. But there's a limit to how many averos I'm going to let you do. Because if you're going to do too many averos, then Mashiach's never going to come. So just take it easy. Lo yidchaku yirchaku. Don't cause it to delay by doing too many. Yeah.
So what I have here, based on the Maharshah, is that it explains that people should not view the exile as hopelessly distant and despair of redemption. Instead, they should see the redemption as near.
Very good. So it's the same idea. It's a matter of thought, the way, outlook, attitude, and looking at Mashiach. Okay, now we go to the third.
If we did too many of those, the Mashiach wouldn't come.
That's right.
Is it possible that the Mashiach will not come?
No. Chazal tell us, be'ita achishana. It will come at the end of days. What exactly is the end of days? No one knows. We have a tradition, 6,000 years. I realize in one of his popular shiurim, it always rings in my head.
22 more years.
He says, do we really know what the number 6,000 years are? The shiur, he says, he went through history, he went through like practically 10 times where Klal Yisrael made calculations, and they were wrong. And they were wrong. Bnei Ephraim, they made a calculation. 400, we just mentioned over in the Rashi. It's 400 years since the Bris Ben Habasarim, and therefore it's now time to leave. They were wrong. He gave many examples of where Klal Yisrael made calculations. The calculations were wrong. So do we really even know what the number 6,000 means? Maybe 6,000 is not to be calculated from... Are we even sure that we know what Brias Olam is? I mean, we write in our documents, L'minyin She'onu Moinin Kan, according to the calculation which is common, the convention. But that also alludes to the fact that we might be off. We might be off by 1 year. It's Machlokes Rashi. Rashi exactly is the year, is it Tavshin Ayin Vav, is it Tavshin Ayin Zayin, that's the Prat Katan, but maybe there are other factors that we're not exactly aware of. All we know for sure is Be'ita Achishena, there's something called Be'ita. There is a time at Kufa that Mashiach will come no matter what. And then there is the possibility of Achishena can come before its time. But here it's telling us, Lo Yitchaku Esakets, which can be interpreted two ways, don't bring Mashiach, force Hashem's hand to bring it prematurely, and don't be in a frame of mind, an attitude that it's never going to come and thereby push it off, or do averos and push it off by not coming. Now what's the third? What? What do you mean asmachta? What do you mean?
The asmachta is on the psukim.
Yeah, okay.
It's not a...
Absolute. Halacha. It's not halacha, right? It's all a drush. It's a drush. Ain mashiv in ala drush. I got it, Tom.
The reason for the story that you is the last pasuk in Malachi, Hinei Elohim Shaleya Bochemes Eliyahu Hanavi, Lifnei Bo Yom HaGadol Ba'anora. That's what all this is talking about, because we have that Eliyahu Hanavi is going to come back and he's going to be the force that brings Mashiach.
He will be the one that will bring Mashiach.
Before that, it says he told Moshe Avdi, so you would think maybe on a level that he should send Moshe. Why Eliyahu?
Okay.
He didn't, you know, he would make you, Moshe was always saying, all right, don't worry, it'll be better tomorrow. But it's the last day, there is no tomorrow. So that you need Eliyahu, who had that kaya.
Okay.
To read you the riot act.
Now, there's a third interpretation.
What? Got to get around here. He's here every day.
There's a third interpretation of Lo Yitchaku Esakets, and that comes from Rashi Himsech. This is Rashi. There actually said Rashi Himsech. Ksubas Daf Yud Kuf Yigimel. Don't daven too much. In other words, fasting. The words are Shelo Yarbu B'Sachanunim Al Koch Yosem Midai. You can force Mashiach to come prematurely by davening too hard. You daven. You daven. Mashiach should come. You should not daven too much. I remember when I was a child, so I was one of the first members of the Tzivos Hashem of Lubavitch. I probably have the card. Possibly. I possibly have the card. I possibly have my Tzivos Hashem card. And the marching song was, they still sing, we want Mashiach now. We want Mashiach now. We want Mashiach now. So what I got, I never thought anything of this. I was a very happy member of Lubavitch. I had no problems. When I got older, I remember part of the kiddurah is, not it's not a negative kiddurah, but not everyone in Klal Yisrael is happy with that mantra, we want Mashiach now. That is a shtickel violation for those who are sensitive of what it says here. Rashi's parish, Shelo Yitchaku Esakets. You don't demand Mashiach. You don't demand Mashiach because demanding Mashiach before its time is not proper. You have to be roy for Mashiach to come. You have to work on yourself. Midos and Torah and Tzila. It has to be with an edelkeit, because if it's not being done with an edelkeit, it is a violation of Shelo Yitchaku Esakets, especially according to what Rashi says. Okay, that's something to think about. Not that the people that said this were negative. They're just a more edel approach to the coming of Mashiach. Yeah. That's what they mean when they say we want Mashiach now. You're dealing with children. You're not dealing over here with adults that are. You want to get the children in a frame of mind. It's not a kasha. It's not you want to go analyze every child's book. You go into Eichel's, they have their whole wall. It's a multi-million dollar business, children's books. Right? These books for children. So you want to go, I guarantee every single book you open up, you can go and you can check. Why did the picture depict Haman and Mordechai like this? Why do they have Esther looking like this? Why does this Bamaisa? There's no end to all the things that you can start nitpicking against children and entertainment that's made for children. It's not shakash, but for an adult, the thing, we want Mashiach now. An adult is more sophisticated, realizes that it's not necessarily the proper thing to do. Because in Chazal, we have this Chazal, Shelo Yitchaku Es Hakeitz. I'm not coming chashon to anything Neva Lubavitch. I have no negias. I'm a shtickle Lubavitcher. I have no problem. What?
What?
I yearn. It's not a demand. The Rambam didn't say that every single day I demand that it comes. The Rambam says, Achakalo, I yearn for the coming of Mashiach. Am I realistic? Is Mashiach coming today? You have to be realistic also. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he said that Mashiach is not coming in his lifetime. He said, this is just not going to happen. It's not coming in my lifetime. I don't see it coming in my lifetime. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky wasn't the Gedolei Yisrael that said that, nu, Achakalo b'chol yom sheyavo. Yes, there's Achakalo b'chol yom sheyavo. And then you have to be realistic. Mashiach is not, Halavai Mashiach should come. And Mashiach will come behesach hadas, and they have all these numerous Mari Chazal. But everything has to be taken in balance. Everything has to be taken in the proper perspective. Okay, now what's the third? What is the third one? The third shvua is shelo yigalu mastirin shelohen luumo saolam. What does it mean, mastirin? That's a very hard word to translate. It means secrets, mysteries. Klal Yisrael are not allowed to reveal to the umo saolam mysteries. What does this mean? I don't think we have an interpretation. Anything that we know, they know.
You actually alluded to it, I think, the other day.
The Soyto Ibor. What is the Soyto Ibor? We don't know what that is.
It could be that, or any other kind of secrets or insights.
All right, whatever they are. Some secrets, calculations, understandings. Today, everything is available online. Any guy can walk into Eichler's and buy an art school Gemara. Yeah. Everything is available. Anything that's available to us is readily available to the Umos HaOlam. So what exactly does this mean?
It goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim. He says, now I see why we're in this mess. He says, K'yesh Dal Torin, there are informers among us who give away our secrets to the enemy. And therefore you show that you identify with the enemy and not your own people. So it's the same kind of idea.
Hello?
Okay. And then the fourth one is what we mentioned before, Vishalo Yalu Choyma Min HaGoyla. You're not allowed to ascend to Eretz Yisrael in a state called Choyma. And that means, again, like we said before, it means multitudes in mass, or it means with force. Okay, now this is what it says in Shir HaShirim Rabbah. Now there's another Gemara, and there's another Gemara, another Medrash, that says there are six Shavuos. Okay, let me just see what it says over here. The Gemara in Ksubis also says, the Gemara in Ksubis, there's another Gemara in Ksubis. Are you the Gemara in Ksubis? There's a second version of the Gemara in Ksubis. Davi puts it in order because he wants to go in terms of numbers. We started with three, then we went to four, and now we're going to six. How do we get six? Because in this version, we do take into consideration the pasuk, the third pasuk, the parak ches. Hishpati eschem, and each pasuk it's two im to'iru, the im to'iru, three times two is six. So what are going to be the six additional shavuos? So he writes over here, are the six ones? Number
three additional
for a grand total of six. Number one, Ella Hishpia HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yisrael Shlo Yalu Yisrael B'Choyma. Number one, they should not go up with force. Number two, V'Yishpia as Yisrael Shlo Yimridu B'Umo, so not to rebel against Umos Olam. Okay, number three, V'Yishpia HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Umos. Now here we go to the Goyim. So the Goyim are not allowed to Shlo Yishtabdu Bohem Yisrael Yosemidai. They are not allowed to subjugate us Yosemidai. Then is V'Yishpia Shlo Yigalu Es HaKetz. You should not reveal Yigalu Esach. If you know when Mashiach is going to come, you should not reveal the secret.
That's the mystery.
Okay, that's the mystery. If you know when Mashiach will come, do not reveal that secret.
Who will know it?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the answer. The Shalom Yirachaku Esakates. The next one is do not distance the coming of Mashiach through our sins, through sinning. And the next one is the Shalom Yigalu Hasoid Luumo Saolam. Okay, what that is, I don't know exactly. So there's a new thing. Gilui HaKetz. There's a shvua that you're not allowed to be Megala the Ketz. If somehow a person merits to figure out when Mashiach is going to come, he's not allowed to make this information public knowledge. And this opens up a discussion of how could it be all the Gedolei Yisrael in the previous generations, they did tell us Zman when Mashiach will come. So the basic answer is they never meant to say this is when Mashiach will come. This is a time that's Mesugal. It's an opportune time for Mashiach to come. It's not absolute. There is no guarantee. But it's an Eis Ratzon. It's a Shas HaKosher. If only we'll just try a little bit harder to be better people, then Mashiach indeed will come at this point in time. But no one ever meant to say that this will be the absolute time, because that would be a violation of what it says here, Hishpati Eschem B'nos Yerushalayim. It says you'll turn into food for fodder. It says Ayolois, you'll be devoured. You'll be obliterated. You'll be the person who violates the Shvuah.
So what does Maisa Nefesh say? He reveals it.
Okay, that's not how it goes. That's not the way it's going to go. Okay, we don't have this problem anyway, because we don't know when Mashiach is going to come. We don't know the site of Eber. So we're
level though. If somebody would come out and say, "I say Mashiach is going to come in such a moment," and then it doesn't, then you have a Shabbat Tzvi
situation.
People get their hopes up, and then it crash and.
So there's a shvua. If a person knows, but even if you know for sure when it's going to come, it says here, this according to this Gemara Masechet Ksuba, that you're not allowed to reveal the time of Mashiach. Okay, now there are some other midrashim. I want to talk about some other hashkafic issues. This pasuk, obviously, I'm sure you all know, is one of the main sources of the hashkafa of Satmar, that going and establishing a state in Eretz Yisrael, is a violation of Hishpati Eschem Benos Yerushalayim Im Toir V'im Toir V'esu'av Ad She'techpats. This is a Das Yachid. This is not accepted. Even they don't accept this, because they also go to Eretz Yisrael and are nene from the state of Israel. So there's nothing to talk about. This idea is rejected. However, even though it is rejected, there is still a very big debate how far we go. Now let's open this up by mentioning that the Gra went to Eretz. The Gra sent his students to Eretz Yisrael. He established the Yishuv today, Yerushalayim. Yeah. And Yerushalayim Arayim, it's been almost 400 years that all the Minhagim of Yerushalayim, and not all, and by many of the Ashkenazim, are Minhagi Hagra. In America, in Chutz La'aretz, it's not Minhagi Hagra. Why? Because the first Yishuv after the Churban of Ashkenazim that settled in Eretz Yisrael were the Talmidei Hagra. How did the Gra allow a group, a community, to settle in Eretz Yisrael, when the pasuk says in Feresh the Gemara, Shel Yalu Bechoyma, and Bechoyma means, according to one interpretation, you're not allowed to go in groups. You're not allowed to grow a Choyma. It's like a wall means.
And,
okay, so you want to give an answer that a small group. How many people already went?
And they didn't rule the country either.
So these are all answers. They didn't go there. They didn't go to rule the country. A group of how many people went? 50 went. How many people actually went? A small group of people. That's not called Bechoyma. Why not? How do you judge what's called Chaima, what's not called Chaima? But I think the Gra writes beferish what the answer is. He says that this Shvua refers to only the building of the Beis HaMikdash. From the Gra Tzmashma, everything else is fair game. So it's a very different approach than Satmar. Very different approach. Satmar, don't even step on the land. Don't even come. Now, one of the people who mentioned this in the Medrash was Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira was the one that actually cited this Maimon Chazal of Hishpati Eschem Benos Yushlam Shloyal B'Chayma, and the Gemara says Beferish Rabbi Zeira went. He made Aliyah. He was in Bavel, and he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he went to say goodbye to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi was afraid to go to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says, how dare you, not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zeri went to Eretz Yisrael, and yet even though he went to Eretz Yisrael, he was the Baal HaMachaber, the one that made the statement that you're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael B'Chayma. Haloi Davar. So the answer is, so even according to him, well, he was a Yach, he was an individual, so it wasn't really a question. But what about the Gra? The Gra did encourage a group of people to go. So again, the Gra, he writes, they actually have a site where he writes this, is it's referring only that you're not allowed to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash before its time. But to settle the land and to have a Medina and to even go with force, that's not part of the Shvua, and that is not a problem. You even see all of the extremists. I have not heard of people calling for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. What? Ateris Kohanim, they're preparing, but they don't. I don't think Ateris Kohanim is calling that. Let's say Lu Yitzuya, the Arab, would say, you know what? We're not interested in Temple Mount. You could have it.
Well, they are.
Are we allowed? Are we allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash?
Yes.
That would be a very. So this, okay, Michil Michel Stern, he has a lot of a lot of sources on this. This is a very, very, the spectrum of how far this goes is very complex. I mean, Yonis and Eibeschitz, I think he holds that you're not allowed to go altogether. He was very against. I don't remember the details. I don't want to say. But there's a very wide spectrum of how far this goes. Just two examples. Satmar originally, 50 years ago, 70 years ago, was of the opinion to stay away. Stay away. It's not. This is a violation of the Shvua. The Gra, no. The Pasuk is referring to one thing only, building the Beis HaMikdash. If you're not building the Beis HaMikdash, you do whatever you want. Okay, then there's another very important answer. I think it's Rav Shlomo Kluger maybe said, I wrote this all this down. The Goyim have violated their part of the deal. Okay, that's the most important part. And all of the Shvuas is there's an agreement, we should not, Olu B'Choyma, and they have a Shvua that they should not subjugate us, Yoiser Midai.
Right.
After the Holocaust,
right.
There's no question. After
the Crusades,
after all of these horrors, we have no obligation to keep our part of the deal because they have not kept their part of the deal. This is a very common answer why there's no issue whatsoever. Another answer is if the Goyim give Rishus. Okay, the UN. The UN says that they established the State of Israel. I mean, this is not called b'chayim. B'chayim means to go against the will of the Umos Olam. If the Umos Olam say, we give you permission, we give you reshus, it's your country, you have autonomy, there's nothing to talk about. That is not in any sense or form a violation of shloyalu b'chayim. So again, you have a lot of ideas. You have the basic yisoid of this pasuk and these midrashim, which all seem to be a bit problematic. But halacha l'maisa, there are so many different mahalchim of why this is not a violation. I particularly am very happy with the Gra. The Gra is only the Beis HaMikdash. Everything else is not an issue. Even now, according to the Gra, the Goyim, they broke their part of the deal.
Who told the Goyim about the deal?
What?
Who told the Goyim about the deal?
Either it's not necessary, or they do know about the deal.
And they know.
They go back in ancient times.
Yes.
Nebuchadnezzar, Achashverosh were obsessed with the Jews. Maybe in 2017 they're not interested. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Achashverosh was obsessed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're going back in the ancient times of Nebuchadnezzar and Achashverosh and Koresh, they were obsessed with Klal Yisrael. They knew very well what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from them. Either they accepted or they rejected it. So they did know about it. Everyone living today is an outgrowth or descendants of what happened in the past. And in the big picture of things, the Umos Olam are not faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not faithful to their part of the deal. We have an obligation to be faithful to our part of the deal. And it's fair game for us to conquer and take Eretz Yisrael. What?
Has yeshivas.
I told you. They just went.
How would they be against it if they have their own...
You're right. Obviously, something doesn't make sense.
They don't cooperate with the government.
But there's still, you can't walk on the land without the cooperation of the government. You can't get on an airplane. It's a state. It's impossible. It doesn't make any sense.
They probably don't use that.
Doesn't make a difference. You cannot. It's just the fact you walk into Eretz Yisrael, you're in this. You're under their security. I mean, what are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make. Obviously, they have to admit to some degree. There's something doesn't fit. All right, let's stop.